This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From kickoff of the NFC Championship game for the 2019 Green Bay Packers season, I'm Bart Winkler. That's Ryan Horvath. We've got Mitch Ross with us, and you guys at 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Ryan Horvath tweeting pictures of his sweatpants. Mm-hmm. Eddie Hamilton, you guys sound jacked. There aren't enough sweatpants in Milwaukee to contain this excitement. I get what you're saying, and you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
BlueChew.com, promo code Chuck, if your sweatpants are still too loose today, okay? The Packers have the Niners today, and we're all talking, we have been all week, about this game from November 24th. Well, what can we learn from it? How can we determine what's going to happen? You know what game I want this to look like? The game from last season where the Packers played the Niners on a Monday night. Granted, Jimmy Garoppolo was hurt.
It was a little close for comfort as well. I was at that game.
C.J. Beathard, the quarterback. Packers winning 33-30. But if Aaron Rodgers could do something like this, 25 of 46, that's a lot, but 25 of 46, 425 and two scores?
Yeah.
They're winning this game.
I'm glad that you brought that game up because I rewatched that game too because I'm a psychopath, and MVS had three grabs in that game for 100 yards. What the hell happened to MVS? He was actually making plays last year.
Three for 103.
Look at Jimmy Graham's numbers if you could pull up that.
Five for 104.
Yeah.
And Devontae was 10 for 132 and two touchdowns.
Jimmy Graham was making plays. I don't know what was going on, but I was at that game. That's what we need to see today. I completely agree. Because I think what the Packers need to do, okay, so in the loss to San Francisco week 12, Matt LaFleur said after that game, I abandoned the run way too fast. But I think still, they're going to be prepared for that. They're going to expect to see a lot of Aaron Jones. I think you passed the set up the run. I want to see Aaron Rodgers come out and throw the football in the first quarter. Call me crazy on that first drive especially. You do have to get Aaron Jones involved in the passing game. The problem with that is Fred Warner is pretty much going to be spying Aaron Jones and anybody that comes out of that backfield, and he makes plays all over the field. Double-digit tackles against the Vikings. Fred Warner is explosive. He's really fast at the linebacker position. Aaron Jones in that game against San Francisco, in the loss I'm talking now this season, only averaged 2.9 yards per carry. They shut him down. You're going to have to find a way to get the ball to Aaron Jones. If they shut down the run, you have to find a way to get him involved in the passing game. But San Francisco is not going to allow that. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do on the offensive side of the ball. Move Devontae around. Work him out of the slot. That's the beautiful thing about Richard Sherman. He's still really good at his age, but even when he was young, he stays on his island. He's not going to follow Devontae around. I would be shocked. You got to get the ball to your playmakers. Also, I want to see a little Jamal Williams today.
I do too. I would like to see Williams. I'd like to see him and Jones together. I don't know if that's something that they've really done a lot this season, but you got to do what the team's not expecting you to do. And I don't know if, you know, they're obviously going to pay a lot of attention to Devontae, whether that's not with Sherman or some sort of bracketing or some sort, whatever they try to do on Devontae, one of these other receivers is going to have to step up and make at least one play. Like Geronimo Allison last week made one catch, but it was a very, very, very important catch on a third down on that final drive. So I don't care if you've struggled all year or if you're MVS and you've had like nine catches in nine games somehow. You've got to make, when it's your opportunity to make one play, you've got to make that one play. I'm not able to sit around and watch drops in this game.
No.
Or guys mistiming their routes like Valdez Scantling was just in the Detroit game. I need to see these guys be on point on every single play because this could be your last game, meaningful game, until September. So you've got to play like that is the case. Couple of notes from the sidelines of the field at Levi Stadium, and we should have inactives here in about 5-6 minutes. J.K. Scott is punting. He's working out. Packers didn't sign a punter, you know, this week, so that's a good indication that he should be good to go, but we'll find out. Raven Green has been activated to the 53.
Nice.
The safety, there was a 52-man roster, and they were pretty much just waiting for him to be ready. He's been activated. Jordy Nelson's on the sidelines.
Yeah, I saw him come out with Wayne Larrivee. I was watching the pep rally videos that were surfacing on the internet last night. When I saw Jordy, you want to talk about needing sweatpants. I wanted to run through the wall right there. I wish we could activate Jordy for today. I don't care. Everybody's like,
why
I don't want
Jordy
to hear this
show
crap.
Up? Well, how Jordy shows up to the pep rally last night. He's on the sidelines right now.
Yeah.
You think he's like walking, you know, like when you're a coach.
Yeah.
When you're a player that sucks.
Right.
And you're walking by the coach like, hey, remember, I'm here. Put me in. Jordy's got to be walking around Gudikins. Isn't there anything you can do? Isn't there any rule you can put me on this field? You know I'm better than half these guys.
He is. He's still. I would trust Jordy Nelson out on that field before I would Geronimo Allison. I'll tell you that right now. I hope that Jordy Nelson doesn't go full OBJ like in the national title game. Like, it's awesome watching. Oh, sorry, I'm going off on a tangent here, but like watching OBJ's night piece together where he's like putting up fake shots over Karl Malone on the field. Then he's in the locker room slapping security guards. You know, he was hammered in that game. But Jordy Nelson, it kind of reminds you of like when somebody graduates from high school or college and then they go back to visit their old school and they're just roaming the sidelines. And it's like, what is this guy really doing here? Don't you have anything better to do, man? Trip McNeely and Can't Hardly Wait.
At the same time, we're talking about this. Ryan Wood, our Green and Gold insider, he'll be on with us tomorrow. He tweeted, I imagine Jordy Nelson is humming a little Fogarty right now. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. I do think that Jordy Nelson has to have that thought in his head right now that he could go out there. Also, Lane Taylor, who is not activated, not able to come back, but he's getting a workout in on the field with those guys. So he's been out since September 18th, tore his biceps in a practice. He's at least, you know, working his way back towards next season. We'll hear from one of the guys that have stepped up for him, Billy Turner, here in just a moment. So we'll have you updated throughout the day. Again, 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. If you're in your car, we're on the radio.com app. Remember, radio.com, free app to download. We can't do play-by-play of the game that you're watching right now, even though I'm still sort of in play-by-play mode from calling a couple high school hoops games yesterday. But as much as we would like to, just know that we have our eyes on this game the entire time like you guys. And if you've been tracking the show, you could probably tell when we're paying more attention to the game and when we're doing more of the, you could just, it's subtle, but you could probably tell in there. Again, we'll have an actives coming up in just a little bit. Billy Turner was with Bill Michaels, Lodge Kohler kickoff on Friday. Winning ugly has been a complaint for some fans, but that's just the way the Packers are getting it done here in 2019.
Aaron Rodgers, rookie year till now, he's a different player. He's evolved. The Green Bay Packers 14 years ago to the Green Bay Packers today, evolution, whether it's up and down or it's just consistently up or consistently down, that's evolution. You know, so players evolve, teams evolve, and the game evolves. I haven't been here any longer than 6 months, and the way we're winning football games, that is the 2019 Green Bay Packer way to win games. And we have been very successful doing that. And I do not expect us to change up on Sunday or the following, 2 weeks from Sunday in the Super Bowl.
Well, look at that. The crowd getting into that there at Lodge Kohler on Friday night. Bill Michaels on the Lodge Kohler kickoff each and every week. Now, Billy Turner has been impressed by a guy who did not play too much in that game the last time the Packers and Niners got together. Did not play at all last week because of the illness, and that's in Brian Bulaga, the 10-year veteran impressing Billy Turner throughout the year.
This is my only season with Brian. I obviously knew who he was up until this point, but if you're asking me, I think he's having the best season of his career. Brian has, undoubtedly been against some of and the best pass rushers that this league has to offer week in and week out, and has consistently shut them down. And to be in your 10th season as an offensive lineman, to do that's something that is tough. Being an offensive lineman is tough in general, but to be able to do that year in and year out and to be playing your best football year 10, that is tough to do.
Billy Turner again on the Lodge Kohler kickoff. Now, talking about Brian Bulaga, I just think that is such a big difference from this game to the game in November, in why you almost have to write and throw the whole thing out.
Yeah, he's so important. I mean, look what he did all season long, whether it be
Alex Light was not good.
No, he was awful
in that game.
He was brutal in that game.
Yeah.
penalty, and I mean, he was getting just destroyed in that game, and then it equaled everybody else being just as bad. Like Bakhtiari had a bad game; he was getting bull rushed and knocked back into Aaron Rodgers on a few of those plays from Nick Bosa. So yeah, Bulaga's important, and he's had. I agree with what Billy Turner said. This is probably, and I know he's getting a little bit older, and he's coming off the ACL injury, and he was a little beat up this season. Once again, he's always beat up, Brian Bulaga. But he's been so damn good for this Packers team throughout his career, but this season especially. Khalil Mack, week one. Khalil Mack again in Green Bay. He just shut down some of the best pass rushers. It's going to be so important to have him back out on the field today.
Billy Turner again joining the guys on the Lodge Color Kickoff on Friday. Now, Aaron Rodgers was asked about this too this week about, hey, you know that last game, Alex Light, the reporter, whoever it was, says, I don't want to say he was terrible.
But he was awful.
but he was awful. But at least the question was, do you feel better about your offensive line going into this game, Aaron, than you did back in November?
Yeah, I mean, I'm confident in the line. I think they've done a nice job this season. It's been important that they've pretty much stayed healthy. You know, obviously Brian's been out a couple times, but, you know, they've started all the games together. I feel good about our backups, Alex, Jared, and Lucas. You know, if they need to step in, have all played and done well. Jared, you know, has obviously played a lot of football and stepped in and did a really nice job Sunday night. But feel good about Lucas as well on any of the interior three positions if we need him.
Now, again, Aaron Rodgers feeling a little better about the offensive line. I don't know how much you can read into that game back in November because this was a game where Bulaga went out early and they fumbled early and it really got away from them. I mean, there's just not a lot. It wasn't a close game. You know, neither team had to show too much after a while.
Right.
So it's hard to, what do you really take out of that one? The thing that you can take out of that one, and again, Billy Turner talked about this on Friday, is the way the team regrouped. We know that the defense had a players-only meeting after that and realized the defensive line thinks the cornerbacks are doing one thing, the secondary thinks the linebackers are doing another thing. They were able to regroup, something Billy Turner echoed on Friday at the Lodge Kohler kickoff.
After that point in time, you know, moving forward, guys kind of, you know, understood what we had in front of us. We understood that, you know, to get to where we wanted to be, we kind of needed to tighten up, so to speak. And, you know, I think when, you know, the proof is in the pudding. So when you get into, you know, those next 6-7 weeks of games and you're in tight games and you're in, you know, getting down to the end of the game and you need a 2-minute drive or you need a big stop, we've proven that we could do that and that was our identity and our DNA time and time again throughout the course of those 6-7 weeks. So, you know, that kind of showed me the type of team we are and the caliber that we have moving forward.
Billy Turner again on the Lodge Kohler kickoff. That was Friday night. We've been talking a lot about two guys, J.K. Scott, Raven Green, both making some news over the weekend. Raven Green maybe not expected to play, getting activated, but then J.K. Scott expecting to play and getting sick. One of those guys is playing today. One of them is not. We'll have the inactives for you next. It's the Green and Gold pregame show. Ryan Horvath, Bart Winkler here on The Fan.
This is Chuck and Winkler.
We were a week ago in all this Packer euphoria. You watch all the newscasts at night.
They will interview anyone wearing a Packer shirt.
Here's what I hate about the newscasts.
Uh-oh.
Well, let's go to Cindy Johnson, who's reporting live from so-and-so sports bar, and then they go and interview some drunk fans inside. You know, there's no analysis. It's like, oh, it's great. We're behind the Packers 110%, and then there's some chick there they interview who has no idea what's going on.
I think they just gave up.
That's exactly it right there.
It was really awful to watch, and it was just a horrible game. But I love the Pack, and I support them no matter what.
Sure, except when your husband wants to watch the game at noon and you want to, you know, go to a bridal show.
You really pigeonhole women here.
I'm just telling you that. I'm reading that one right there.
Chuck and Winkler, weekday morning 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
The NFC Championship game is today.
On to San Francisco.
It's the Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. It's the Fan's Green and Gold pregame show with Bart Winkler and Ryan Horvath. Call the guys now to make your predictions for the game at 414-799-1250.
Amazing.
Now, why are we playing this?
I was actually just going to ask you that because I love it.
Well, we got nothing to do with Philly. That's true. But Boyz II Men is doing the national anthem today.
Are they really?
For Packers Niners.
They should just skip the anthem and play End of the Road.
Well,
that's what's coming down for San Francisco today. Yeah.
See, I thought about doing that, but I wanted a little more of an upbeat track here.
Yeah.
But that is a good way to spin that one. Boyz II Men will be doing the national anthem. So Boyz II Men officially active for the day. Who is inactive for the Green Bay Packers today? The name that we were wondering about, and we didn't really think about it on Friday, but then we found out on Saturday he was sick and added to the injury report as questionable, was J.K. Scott, the punter. J.K. Scott is good to go. J.K. Scott will be punting and holding and playing in this football game. So J.K. Scott is in. The other name that we were discussing, Raven Green, is out. No Raven Green. He was activated. The safety, I know a lot of us had dreams of, well, maybe he could be the guy to match up against George Kittle. For whatever reason, whether it's special teams or he's not a part of the defensive plan or it's just too late, no Raven Green today. The other guys' names that have been on this inactive report quite a bit, Alex Light, we've been talking about him a lot. He will not play. John LeGlue, everybody's favorite. I know the Christmas jerseys for that offensive lineman flew off the shelves. Kadar Holman, Ryan, your boy Dexter Williams.
Yeah, bunch of dudes that we don't really care about pretty much is what you're trying to tell me.
Ryan Grant is not playing in this game.
Ryan Grant. What's your favorite Ryan Grant moment? Mine was when we broke down his pickup for 10 minutes and then he's never seen the
10
field.
10 minutes? We did a whole show on him. Yes. We did a whole show on him.
Can Ryan Grant be the answer?
It was right before the trade deadline. We did a whole show on Ryan Grant.
Scout team wide receiver.
At least us boys on Chuck and Winkler did. New episode tomorrow. Pre-game show with Horvat at 5 a.m. And then Danny Vitale not playing in this game. So I know that maybe you wanted some wheel routes with him, maybe some blocking with him, but that means you might see more Jay Sternberger like you saw last week coming out of the backfield. Again, I'd still, if you're going to go two back sets, I'd like to see Williams and Jones in there at the same time, but doesn't seem to be, at least from what we've seen in LaFleur's playbook. So no Raven Green, but Ryan Grant will be, not Ryan Grant, J.K. Scott will be active in this game. Packers Niners coming up. We'll talk to Mike Clemens in about 10 minutes. I don't know why, but it feels like every time that I've, you know, seen people give predictions or do predictions, everyone says it's going to come down to a last second Mason Crosby field goal.
Yep.
A last second Mason Crosby field goal. Do you think that this game is more likely to be close or more likely to be a touchdown, two touchdowns, one way or the other? Again, 37-8 last time these two teams played.
Yeah, I think this is going to come down to the wire. I think this is going to be a close game because they're a good football team. You know, if this game's played in Green Bay, maybe it's a different story, especially if you're able to get after Jimmy Garoppolo. But the thing about Jimmy Garoppolo is he does occasionally turn the ball over. He threw 13 interceptions this season. He threw one right before half. He stares down his receivers. He has the tendency to do that. So if you're able to make a play, you're going to need, I would predict, two turnovers in this game if you're going to win this game. Would you agree with that? You're going to need to take the ball away because they're going to get their yards, especially if you're going to play that soft zone coverage like we saw last week against Seattle. I don't know if we're going to see more blitz packages. I understood why Mike Pettine didn't really want to blitz Russell Wilson last week because he was the most blitz quarterback in the NFL during that, you know, and he threw 11 touchdown passes to two interceptions on the deep ball. So if you blitz Russell Wilson, he'll make you pay. Jimmy Garoppolo is a different story, though. Now, I'm interested in seeing what Za'Darius Smith could do today. Last time these two teams played week 12, he almost had two sacks. He had a sack and a half in that game. He just showed up to the stadium about an hour ago wearing a Reggie White jersey, the one that we saw yesterday. So that fires me up even more. And I think that now with Joe Staley back, it's going to be a little bit tougher. So somebody else is going to have to step up and make some plays. I expect Kenny Clark to have a big game, not just because he's Kenny Clark and he's so dominant, but also he could earn himself a lot more money today in this game with all eyes on him. Kenny Clark's going to have to be huge today. Preston Smith's going to have to be big. And Blake Martinez is going to have to step up when asked to in pass coverage.
Blake Martinez, do we expect a big game out of him? I mean,
I hope
may not be a Packer next season.
Right.
Okay, so this could be his final game as a Packer.
A lot of guys looking to earn some money today. Kenny Clark, Blake Martinez. I mean, this is a big game for many different reasons, and these guys are going to have to show up, and I think they're going to. I think this is going to be a close game, though, to answer your question. I think it does come down to a Mason Crosby field goal, only because it's just been that kind of season for Mason Crosby. you know, with everything that he dealt with, like Joe was talking about with his wife and his sister-in-law. It's been a rough season. He had to earn his job, which we kind of forget about when Sam Ficken was in camp. So I just feel like it's been a dream season for these guys. What I like is just that everybody has stepped up and made a play. And we heard about it, and that was what was awesome listening to the locker room interviews after the win against Seattle, was hearing Devontae say, Aaron came up to me, you know, he changed the play, and he said, I need you to make a play here. Same with Jimmy Graham when he picks up that first down. Everybody stepped up and made a play. These guys want to win for Aaron Rodgers because he may never have another shot to get back to this game. And they know that, and that's what's so cool to see with this team is everybody's out there playing for each other. That's why guys aren't sitting out this year with little minor injuries. I feel like everybody on that team is going to step up at some point today.
Do you think they are healthier, or are people just more willing to play through stuff?
That's what I think is that guys.
You think so?
Well, they've said that in the locker room.
Like the years of, my hamstring hurts.
Right. Right. And I mean,
was my hamstring hurts? Was that bad training staff, or was that just the thing guys said last year to not have to play in games?
Right.
Oh, my hamstring hurts. My hamstring hurts.
Everybody on the defensive side of the ball has said that, whether it be Kenny Clark or Blake Martinez, like, I don't want to sit out. Like, yeah, I've been beat up this season. I mean, Blake Martinez was playing pretty much with one hand the entire year, with one arm. He's been hurt. And little minor injuries that we won't probably find out about until the season's over. But guys want to be out on that field making plays for each other. And it sounds stupid and cliche and fanboyish, but they've said it themselves in that locker room. I'm not saying guys have quit in the past, but under McCarthy, let's be honest, guys have quit. Demarius Randall left the game before it even ended last season or two seasons ago. He wasn't even on the team last year, but you get
my
point.
Yeah, no one's quit on this team. In fact, you're right. Guys are even playing harder and making sure that they do get back out there when they do get nicked up a little bit. Blake Martinez on the differences between now and then being the November 24th game, and what they've learned on this six-game winning streak.
Our team is just the communication side, just getting all that locked down, being on the same page, and then understanding how much you have to be locked in on every single play, knowing where certain guys are, where certain receivers are, where certain fullbacks or the fullbacks, certain running backs are in the game, what the quarterback's saying, what the line's saying, all those types of things helps you out so much that you need to be locked in every single play.
So he needs to have a big game. I would agree they've got to have, at least one turnover. The Packers have thrived on being a team that when you win the turnover battle, normally you win the football game. Outside of one or two games where that wasn't true off the top of my head, turnovers have been key for this team. When I think of Packers-Niners, and this is the postseason matchup, only one other postseason matchup has been played more since the Super Bowl started, and that was Cowboys-Rams. I mean, only one other postseason matchup has been played more. Mm-hmm. A lot of those games coming earlier on. But even last year, the two teams met up. Packers-Niners, these two teams play a lot in the playoffs. I think back to Craig Newsome having that fumble recovery right away and turning things back in 95. And that's when you look at November 24th. It was a fumble from Aaron Rodgers, which turned things. And really, the game was over. That game was over after one drive. It's just the way that it was, and it's how we've talked about this game all week. We've been getting ready for this game all week. But once they hit the field, the game, it's not over or 60 minutes, mm-hmm. but it can necessarily be over just on one play. Just like in this AFC Championship game, once I saw Patrick Mahomes have that 27-yard scramble, you could tell this game was over. It's now 28-17 Chiefs as they just handed it off to Damian Williams a few minutes ago, and he got in the end zone 28-17. I would be surprised at this point if Tennessee comes back here as we're in the early stages of the fourth quarter, but you can sometimes just tell when a game is over just by the flow of the game, and I thought maybe that Mahomes play was it for this game, but then also that Rodgers fumble back then. Dan, our boy at Broken Bat Brewing, says, thanks so much for this pregame show. Epic and much needed. I'm going to take the Packers 24-17.
Okay.
I like somewhere in there. I like somewhere maybe 27, 22, maybe a missed two-point conversion late, but I do like the Packers to win this game for a lot of the reasons, or about that, we've mentioned.
Yeah, I'll stick with my 27-24 prediction. I feel like it's going to be close, but they're going to find a way to get it done, especially because now my whole thing's going down here where Kansas City's up 28-17. Ryan Tannehill going to be forced to throw the ball. They're not going to be able to run it with Derrick Henry. You know my thoughts. I think one dog wins today and one favorite wins today. At least that's my hopes. I don't know. The closer we're getting to kickoff, the more nervous I'm going to get, especially when you bring up 1995 and just remembering, though, that the Packers were a 10.5-point underdog in that game, which people forget. They win at 27-17 in that year. And so anything could happen, and Vegas doesn't always know what's going on. But nobody is predicting the Packers to win this game. Nobody. I was listening to You Better You Bet, which is a radio.com sports show. We had it on our station. Those guys gave the Packers no credit. They haven't all year. I love it. I was looking at the predictions on CBS before this game. Nobody picked the Packers. I'm looking at Odd Shark. People have the Packers losing by three scores. Trust me, guys. That's not happening. You think the NFL's going to let their ratings just go down?
Everybody's going that way.
This game is going to be close.
No,
they will make
no,
sure.
No,
look
no,
at the NFC
no.
Championship game last year where there's a guy gets mugged on the field and they don't even throw a flag. Like, there's going to be some controversy. So that's, I guess, you know what? I'm talking about the pass rush and the Niners who are running for 150 yards per game.
Vegas knows something.
But you know what scares
Vegas
me the most?
Vegas don't know anything more than we do.
Hey, you know what scares me the most is a blown call. I just do not want to lose this game in heartbreaking fashion. If the Packers are going to lose, okay. But if it's off a blown call or if it's a collapse like against Seattle, I won't be able to wake up in the morning. Especially
no, if we're coming in here tomorrow talking about, oh, that was a hold on George Kittle, blah, blah. I mean, that's going to be – nobody wants that. Nobody wants that on either side. We want to see a good football game, a good competitive football game.
Yeah.
Although if it is 35-4, you know, Packers, nobody around here is going to complain about that too much. Either. It's the Green and Gold pregame show. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. We'll go back out to San Francisco. Mike Clemens is there with the latest on the inactive reports on what he sees coming up in this game today. Mike Clemens will join us next. You're listening to 105.7 FM, The Fan.
The NFC Championship game is today. It's the Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. You'll hear from the players and coaches inside the locker room. It's the Fans Green and Gold pregame show with Bart Winkler and Ryan Horvath.
Let's go out to San Francisco. Once again, Mike Clemens joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from Levi's Stadium. And we'll hear from you guys after this, 414-799-1250. Mike, the inactive's out. J.K. Scott is available. Raven Green is not. He was activated this week off the injured list, but not playing in this one. Is that a surprise to you at all?
Not really, because I guess that also means, let's see, I think that means that Will Redmond is active. And, you know, Will is, has participated. Remember when, before they brought in Ibrahim Campbell, Will had a, I think he had a pick against the Cowboys. So that just must be it. I thought that maybe if Raven did play, it might be for special teams. But, yeah, you know, we'll talk about the inactives. Ryan Grant's been inactive every week. And I get a lot of listeners that say, why did they bring him in? Well, when they brought him in, they were going into a week where they had both Geronimo Allison and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, both questionable with knee and ankle injuries, and yet they were able to get ready that week. And it's just, at the end of the day, they just think that Ryan Grant is, you know, their eighth best receiver, so he hasn't been active all year. Dexter Williams, the running back, Kadar Holman, they've been healthy in the secondary, so the rookie has had a chance to watch. Alex Light, the backup tackle, but, you know, you got Jared Valdir, who filled in last week for the Seahawks, for Brian Bulaga. John LeGlue is a guy that they brought in from the Saints. You know, the most notable one for the Packers inactives is Danny Vitale, the fullback, and that's because of the knee. He also had the flu bug that other guys have had. And speaking of the flu bug, you know, we talked about J.K. Scott. They put him on the injury list yesterday. Listen to him, it's questionable. He came in with the flu from Friday night and Saturday morning. But I got here to the stadium early. He was out there early with Sean Manenga walking the field. Now he's got, you know, the helmet and uniform on. So he's going to punt today in that game. People were asking me, so who's their emergency backup punter? And when they put Raven Green up on the 53, I guess that means that they didn't have to sign in somebody off the street. But I remember I thought somebody said during training camp that actually the backup quarterback, Tim Boyle, possibly could have been a backup punter if they were really in a pinch.
Mike, with no Danny Vitale, do you expect to see a lot of Jay Sternberger today, especially just blocking? I mean, the 49ers were fifth in the league in sacks this year with 48 during the regular season. They got four guys with over 6.5, so they're going to rotate their pass rushers. How do you expect the Packers block for Aaron Rodgers today? Maybe a lot of Mercedes Lewis, or do you think Sternberger? What do you think they're going to do to protect him?
Yeah, Ryan, did you hear Matt LaFleur's when he was asked to evaluate Jace Sternberger, the rookie, and his progress in the last couple of weeks? I mean, he just gushed over the kid. And I went to Jace right after that press conference with LaFleur, and I asked him a couple of questions. He's like, and then pretty soon all the TV cameras came about 5 minutes later, like, what's this all going on? I said, Coach just talked you up, man. And he got a big smile on his face. but it's because of his blocking.
Yeah,
it's because they trust him in some plays where he picked up the pass rush, or he could lead the blocking on the jet sweep, and that's just the same thing that's been the story for a lot of these other receivers. You know, like Alan Lazard. I mean, he only got one or two targets against Seattle, but it's downfield blocking to make ways for your real weapons like Aaron Jones out there in the flats catching a screen pass or certainly running the football that's made the difference in these guys getting explosive gains on the Packers' offense.
Follow Mike Clemens, NFL Online, also 105.7 FM, The Fan today for more coverage. Radio Joe's out there as well, Radio Joe Sports. You guys out in San Francisco. I think that the first, 10 minutes are going to be very crucial in this one. We have dissected this game from November 24th like we've never dissected a previous meeting between the Packers and their opponents before, and that's because the Packers did get walloped the last time they went out to San Francisco. But I don't know how much you can look into that one. Obviously, Alex Light was in for 70 snaps instead of Brian Bulaga, who got hurt early. And then the fact that they fumbled right away, I think that game was pretty much over after that fumble. Packers, Mike, more than anything, I think they've got to win the turnover battle today if they're going to win this football game.
Well, that's the daunting task, too. I mean, the 49ers are the favorite, and they are for a reason because of the depth. And they've got guys back in there today like Quan Alexander. And I've heard some pass players say, man, I saw that guy a couple of years ago. I mean, he's just outstanding the way he flies around the field. There's only one guy that's of interest, Jeff Wilson, the backup running back. He actually had some big plays in that game against the Packers, because that's why I picked the Packers to win that Week 12 game, because they had four or five starters out on the 49ers, and still they put down a 37-8 beatdown. But you talk to the Green Bay Packers, and they look at you straight in the eye and said, we were so bad technique. Davante Adams was bold enough to say this week, you know, it wasn't the best game plan, and LaFleur was a little embarrassed when we said, hey, man, you know, one of your team leaders has said, actually a couple of players have questioned if even the game plan was right, if maybe Matt LaFleur was overthinking going against his friends and his brother, like Kyle Shanahan and Mike LaFleur, the passing coordinator, and his roommate, for crying out loud, from college days from Central Michigan, and Robert Slaw. Maybe he got a little too cute with that, and they were executing horribly. But the fact is, this is a well-built, physical defensive front that they can run four guys and drop seven and beat the hell out of you all day. And so these guys, they'll feel, listen, we improved everything about ourselves. And that story we had this past week, Bart, that we were talking about on your show Thursday morning, and for Blake Martinez to come out and say, yeah, you know what's different? We had this huge team meeting, players only. We put up 50 clips of explosive games, and we found out there's a lot of us that, even though there's tools that Mike Patton and our coaching staff has told us, we'd kind of gotten a little lackadaisical, maybe a little overconfident on how to communicate pre-snap or how to best use your time sidelines, and obviously how to prepare during the week. So they had a six-game run, and they found how to win and finish games in the end, and so they feel they're a better team for that, and they could be more competition for these 49ers today.
Mike, what do you expect from the game plan? You brought it up, and I remember Matt LaFleur, after Week 12, saying he abandoned the run a little bit too quickly. Do you think the Packers maybe come out throwing the ball to set up the run, or what do you expect from the game plan? Maybe a heavy dose of Aaron Jones, because their defense, especially Fred Warner, that front four, I mean, they just don't allow a whole lot of rushing yards.
Yeah, you know, the thing that's the trick is, you're basically trying to run the same misdirection that your opponent runs at that 49ers defense every day. I mean, they've seen it. So to me, the best thing that has worked in the 49ers losses, and I watched that tape again when the Falcons got up on them and beat them here at Levi Stadium, and I asked Kyle Shanahan in the teleconference about that. How'd you lose the Falcons, man? You know, Dan Quinn essentially saved his job and turned it around to like a 7-9 season with that win about 5-6 weeks ago. So, you know, we were up by 10 until we got to the fourth quarter, but we made mistakes. We were missing some guys, and they came up that crazy play to Julio Jones in the open. I think that's what it's going to take. I think it's going to take Aaron Rodgers pulling a rabbit out of his hat, like hitting Jamal Williams in the back of the end zone against the Chiefs, like calling that screenplay against the Lions with the game on the line, and you need to just get into field goal range, and you turn a short little screen that, as Rodgers was getting sacked, he flips it to Aaron Jones. He gets a 31-yard gain, ends up getting in field goal range, and Mason Crosby walks off with a field goal to win Detroit. I think that's what it's going to take. It's going to have to take ball security and try and have some time of possession. You know, the thing about the 49ers, man, is that if they get their running game going, they won't need Garoppolo to pass. That's how they beat the Vikings. Mm-hmm. They just kept, and they've got the difference between them and Green Bay is Green Bay's got Aaron Jones and sometimes Jamal Williams. But the 49ers, they've got four running backs. They use Breida and Tevin Coleman, and they just keep running the ball. And if they're moving the ball with their misdirection, they don't need to pass, and they'll win time of possession, and they'll beat you by two scores.
Mike Clemens, he's out there in San Francisco. Follow him throughout the game today. Mike Clemens, NFL. He'll be joining the guys on the Green and Gold postgame show after Packers and Niners. Mike, appreciate a couple minutes, and we'll talk to you this week a bunch.
You bet, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Mike Clemens from Levi's Stadium, San Francisco on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. All right, in the AFC Championship game, as the Chiefs are up 11 and just kind of, you know, rolling things here, no, they just decide to throw it 60 yards to Sammy Watkins, who's in for the score.
I just did something.
What?
Another $200 on the Packers money line. I now have $450 on the Packers. I got them at plus 290 again. I'm rolling all in on the Packers, so I'm going to be broke and really miserable tomorrow morning if they lose this game. In fact, do I have a fill-in? Because nobody else wants to wake up at 4 a.m. If I just don't want to come to work, I am not talking Jed Jerko or whatever that guy's name is or Brewers baseball. I love the Bucks. I don't even want to talk Bucks tomorrow. I need to be talking about a Super Bowl berth. I'm all in on this game.
Well, I've got Watkins in one of my daily fantasies, but
Sammy Watkins.
I think I took Rodgers as the quarterback, not Mahomes.
I'm going to make so much money off this Chiefs game. My only regret is I played every single Travis Kelce prop, and for some reason he has three catches today for only 30 yards. They're using like Sammy Watkins popped right off the milk carton to catch that 60-yard bomb, and Travis Kelce is nowhere to be found on the field. The Chiefs are rolling.
Yeah, that's killing me.
Man, give me this Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl. If you give me Mahomes and Rodgers, the State Farm boys going at it, like, think of a better way, because all the comparisons between the two.
Andy Reid. Facing his former squad.
Man, it would be so awesome. It really would. I don't care about the 49ers. They're a boring team. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah, it's cool. He goes out with porn stars and Instagram models. Good-looking dude, but you get the star power if you get Packers, Chiefs. Rodgers, Mahomes, especially with Rodgers, maybe like the last legit shot he has at a Super Bowl. I mean, I say that, but I think the Packers will be even better next year, especially with all these wide receivers that are going to come out in the first round if they get themselves a couple more weapons for Rodgers. But it's just so tough to get back in this position. I really need this today.
Chuck and I had Chuck do a FanDuel with me this week.
How's he doing?
Well, he's doing fine. He's got Mahomes.
Nice.
But he didn't take Sammy Watkins on his team. I took Sammy Watkins on my team, but I didn't take Mahomes. And we both took Kelce. And I took the Chiefs D. We both took the Chiefs D. So we're probably not going to win any money, which is probably for the best.
I'll let you guys borrow some when the Packers plus 290 hits, though.
Well, I was going to skimp out on paying Chuck anyway. Yeah. Matt's in Port Washington. You guys can dial us up, 414-799-1250. We're here for another hour till kick. Matt, what's happening?
Hey, I talked to Ryan on Monday morning. Or no, it was Thursday morning, and I told them that the Packers are going to steamroll these 49ers. I got no doubt in my mind that they're not going to do that tonight.
They are going to steamroll them or not?
No, they are. They are, for sure.
What's the key matchup that you like? Why do you think they're going to win?
I just think their defensive front is that much. They're clicking. They're clicking on all cylinders, and they're just going to go after Garoppolo. They're going to take him down. Bottom line, they're just going to steamroll them.
All right. I like it, man. I like the confidence. They're plus 290 on the money line if you feel like that, too.
Jeez. Now you're going to want me to get back into
it. See, man, and I agree, though. And it's going to be.
Thanks, Matt.
The problem is, and I agree. I mean, the Packers' defensive line, I think we're underselling them. I think we're underselling the pass rush between Za'Darius and Preston Smith. We continue to talk about guys like Nick Bosa and Buckner and everybody on the 49ers' front four and their linebackers, but we're underselling the Packers' defense because they've gotten hot. This second half of the season, the secondary, and I know Kevin King is prone to give up a big play and trip over his own feet, but they're getting hot at the right time, and they're playing with a ton of confidence. Like, go back and watch Za'Darius walk into the stadium today. he has a lot to prove. He feels he was snubbed. I almost like the fact that Aaron Rodgers didn't have a typical Aaron Rodgers type season. And I know you guys hate bulletin board material, but that's exactly what he has going into this game today. Nobody predicted him to win this game. I like that he hasn't been himself, because now he has to go out there and prove that he's still an elite quarterback. Same with this defense, man. Za'Darius and Preston, they're not even all pros. Za'Darius Smith should be an all-pro. He should be in Defensive Player of the Year consideration. He was double-teamed on 70% of his snaps and still had 13.5 or whatever sacks this season. He's in the backfield on every single play. So I feel like them getting no respect is going to be a good thing today, and I agree. I don't know that they're going to steamroll him. I think it's going to be a close game. But if you could just shut down that run somehow and force Jimmy Garoppolo to beat you, he's going to turn the ball over. Now, problem is, I'm not really concerned with the running backs, the Tevin Coleman's of the world, but I am concerned with the guy that's calling those plays, and that's Kyle Shanahan, because he's an offensive genius, especially on his run options or zone runs.
One connection we don't talk about a lot, Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator for Mike Pettine in Cleveland.
And he hated him.
Did you see a video this
week?
Yeah,
that's the one I was telling you guys about, where they want to do two opposite things, and Shanahan just shakes his head. They score on the
play. Shanahan's the offensive coordinator. Pettine says, I feel like a run here. Shanahan like stares him down like,
no,
are you kidding me that you're in charge and it's not me? They call a pass with then quarterback Johnny Manziel, and they score a touchdown on the play. Pettine obviously pumped up, but those two, whatever relationship still exists between them, there seems to be none left. Look at this. The Chiefs are up 35-17. It's 4th and 8. There's 6 minutes left. They're at their own 21 and they're punting. Just go for
it. Yeah, see, here's where I'm with you, man. Your season's on the line, and you're punting the ball to Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's the thing. You know what I mean?
You're down 18 points. Oh, they're going to fake the punt and get it.
Wait, can we do this? Are we going to get in trouble?
I don't know. It's fourth quarter. No one cares. The guy's last name is Hooker. Nothing matters.
I need to say, nobody in our front office, our Brian Gutekunst, isn't listening anyway.
How do you not know the fake's coming? And why are you calling a fake?
I just, you know
this
what
is
I,
ridiculous.
You know what I don't
good
like?
Good play call. I mean, the guy's wide open.
Shades of Bill O'Brien there.
Unbelievable.
But I guess Ryan Tannehill is your quarterback, so it's not like you're taking Aaron Rodgers off the field right there, but your season on the line and you're throwing a pass with your punter.
With Brett Kern.
They just better not cover this game, right? Then I'm going to be more
all right,
angry.
Motion set, 527. No, I won't right, do that. So, yeah. I don't want to get into that. Do you want to look ahead? Do you want to be dangerous and look ahead? There's already lines out. Based on
no.
the Super Bowl matchup for the Packers.
No, please don't do that. That would remind me of when the 2014 NFC Championship game, when I'm in Wisconsin Dells with my family, and I'm getting texts from back home, and everybody's like, congratulations. Even my buddies that I went to college with that are, you know, Vikings fans or Bears fans, wherever the hell people root for in Macomb, everybody was like, congratulations, you're on your way to the Super Bowl. And I was like, do not do this to me. Do not say it. And they jinxed me. So, no, we're not looking ahead. No look-ahead lines today.
Under 5 minutes to go in the AFC Championship game. Chiefs up 18. Tennessee in desperation mode. Hopefully things do not get like that for the Packers. I do want to send out a warning, and this may fall on deaf ears. In fact, I know it will. Chiefs were down 10-0 in this game. It's since been 35-7. Chiefs were down 24-0 a week ago. If the Packers go down 10-0, let's not all rush to Twitter and just watch the whole 60 minutes of this ball game.
That's my goal for the game, or my goal for the day, is to not overreact in the first half. But at the same time, the Packers can't play from behind against this Niners team, because they will pound the football against you. You can't get off to a slow start.
I am going to stay for the first half at the station.
Okay.
I'm going to.
Are you? I'm in.
It's a 25-minute ride home.
But I got a problem with, if they're up, you can't leave then. You know that. That's my problem.
I'm leaving at halftime.
If they're up.
I'm leaving either way.
Okay.
No matter what, I'm leaving at halftime.
So we're going to do a half here?
If you want, I don't care what you do. I just can't risk it.
Oh,
Titans
no.
scored a touchdown
no!
to Firkser.
No! I'm going to get a backdoor here, aren't I?
See, I want to take Firkser too in my DFL. I did not get in the radio to complain about
you are
$9
sick.
Fantasy
You need
leagues.
Help.
I know. Well, I really am sick, because I was going to take the over and I left it alone. I knew there was going to be points scored in this game. So this is now back to my other thing. So last week in the divisional round.
So you think the NFL rigged that fake punt to keep people intrigued in this game?
No, I'm not going to go there. I'll get myself in even more trouble. But so last Saturday, both games went under. And then last Sunday, both games went over. I was considering taking the Packers under today, but now I don't know.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Maybe.
Titans. All right, 35-24. 414-799-1250. We are less than an hour from kickoff of our game. My goodness, it is Championship Sunday, and we're talking about it here on The Fan.
The NFC Championship game is today. It's the Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. You'll hear from the players and coaches inside the locker room. It's the Fans' Green and Gold pregame show with Bart Winkler and Ryan Horvath.
We are 50 minutes away from kickoff for the NFC Championship game. It doesn't feel real to me.
Especially after the last 2 years, how disastrous they were. Feels so good. But yet, I forgot, like, these games are actually more enjoyable when your team's not playing, I would argue.
Oh, yeah. They are. You just watch football and lose money and get sloshed. Now, like, the mood of this state is going to depend on what happens in the next 3 weeks.
Right.
The next month
will
be determined. Your life. We're still talking about that crap that happened in Seattle.
Right.
I mean, part of me died as a sports fan that day. Now, I will say it is therapeutic just for me, and I know you guys are listening either in your car or the radio.com app, wherever you are, as you watch the end of this AFC Championship game, 35-24, Chiefs over the Titans. For me, if I was at home right now, I think it would be different.
I'd be pacing.
Right, I'd be pacing. I kind of feel like being at the office, being in the studio, where I normally do a show, it's balls o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, right? It's like, I don't know, it doesn't feel real yet to me. It's going to be pretty intense.
It's going to be really intense.
And
every
I've never watched
play.
A game with you before. And likewise.
Yeah, you're in for a rude awakening.
Are you a yeller?
I'm not going to be today. Today, I'm just going to take it all in because, I mean, I believe the Packers are winning this game.
Why are you lying right now?
I'm going to take it easy today.
I don't agree to that either.
No chance.
You know, because, like, everybody's uncle is like, come on, Rodgers! It's first down in the first quarter.
So one thing that I do because my do, but one thing that I do is that I've taken on the role of Aaron Rodgers' apologist at the station. So one thing that I do is that every completion, I scream out, I told you guys he's still elite. And then when he gets sacked or anything bad happens, then I just kind of.
He does do that too.
Anytime that Aaron Jones does a nice play, I tweet Gary Ellerson.
Yeah, I yell out Gary's name a lot during these games. He is the number one Aaron Rodgers hater. He just, you know, it's always, in fact, I'm a little concerned that if Aaron Rodgers throws 450 yards today and the Packers lose 48-45, that we'll be blaming Aaron Rodgers on this station somehow tomorrow, like we usually do after a playoff loss. But,
well, we can. I mean, this is, as Brandon Tierney was talking about earlier today on CBS Sport Network, I mean, whether we like it or not, this is huge for him.
Not everybody wants to admit this is a legacy game for Aaron Rodgers, whether it's right, whether it's wrong, whether it's hyperbole, it doesn't matter. Aaron Rodgers and how he's perceived down the road, a lot will be derived from this game. Even if he loses but plays really well, that will obviously benefit him. If they lose and he plays poorly, that's going to really hurt him down the road.
As the time winds down to the NFC Championship game, you guys can chime in at 105.7 FM, The Fan, and 414-799-1250 if you agree with that. That Aaron Rodgers' legacy may be in the balance today, and give your general predictions. Another one coming in here on Twitter, although not a good one, 30-20. And I know that we've just asked you for your predictions again, and we've probably asked you across our different shows 17 times for your predictions. But this is your final predictions. Mahomes going deep, and there's pass interference on a third down.
Thank God.
That's a junk play.
Tennessee's getting hosed
in
this game.
That's a junk play.
Yeah, Tennessee's gotten hosed on a couple calls,
Third and long, just throw it deep, run into contact, and get the flag.
And I feel bad for the guys from Tennessee. I feel bad for their fan base because I really do like their fan base. I mean, they actually believed in their team, unlike some of you guys out there who are tweeting at me your predictions.
No, they only care when their team's good, dude.
Well, okay. Did you care about this Packers team last year?
No, but it's different.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I mean, they've been through some really rough years.
The one time I went to Tennessee is Rob Baronis, prayers up, he kicked a game-winning field goal in overtime.
Yeah.
And it was when they had Smash and Dash.
Yeah.
Lendale White.
Yep.
Who's the other guy?
Lendale White and Chris, he got shot. What was his name?
Oh, yeah. Chris Johnson?
Well, yeah, that was him. Yeah.
Is that a guy?
Yeah, he got shot one offseason, I remember. He ran like a 4.3, though. But yeah, I remember Lendale White that season was like...
Oh, where did that... That guy was good for like 2 years.
They were like stepping on the flag and stuff. Not the American flag, but the... Yeah.
Was it Chris Johnson?
Yeah, it was Chris Johnson.
He was like awesome.
Yeah, and then he got shot.
So he's dead too?
And then he actually came.
He's
no,
not dead.
No, he's not dead. He got shot. Google it.
Oh, no, he's alive.
Yeah, but he got shot.
They started 8-0 that season, and then I think they kind of trailed off.
I always think of the type. My favorite team was the Steve McNair year that they fell 1 yard short
Prayers
of the
up.
Super Bowl. Yep. Yeah, there's another guy. Now he is dead. Eddie George, loved watching him. But like, going back to today.
He's been in this studio.
I'm starting to feel really confident, and it's probably a bad thing, but I'm feeling really, really confident
well,
that
the Packers?
Yeah, that they're going to win this game. But going back to the Aaron Rodgers thing,
I've already convinced myself they are. If they lose, let's just come in tomorrow and do a show like pretending they won.
If Rodgers wins this game, if they win this, will you count this as his? I mean, he's had some big wins. He's won a Super Bowl. He's won MVPs. He's done it all. But would you consider this the best win of his career since nobody's given him a shot?
Well,
he's 36 years old. I don't know, though. Depending
Bowl.
How he plays. Well, right, but everybody discredits that Super Bowl. Like,
no, what's going to happen, if the Packers win, everyone's going to say, we should have seen it coming. We should have. No, no one's seen it coming. Nobody's seen it coming except for your boys here on the Fan. And I promise you, maybe not a promise. We'll kick around the idea. But if they lose tomorrow, I do want to be the only show in town talking about a Packers win.
Well, the other ones will be talking about the Redskins offseason, so I think we'll be all right. Booyah! Had to get that one in there.
We're back with your calls, your predictions. Guys, there's 45 minutes until first kick and Boys to Men with the national anthem. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, Mayor Mitch on the Fan.
Hey, welcome to the tundra. You hear the thunder. Scream until you go hoarse. Let them feel the G-force. Welcome to the big show. Come on and let them know. 7-2-9-2-8. G-force, throw your way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.